Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Owen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And in a rare move, we both decided to see the same movie we're going to actually review.
And from the look of the box office numbers, we're not the only people that decided to see said movie.
Mm-hmm. That would be Spider-Man Far From Home.
It's not even clever. It's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Like, it's Spider-Man, and he is far from his home.
Yeah, like pretty much.
But maybe it would be like a metaphor or something. Mm-mm. No, it's boom. That's what he is doing.
Now, other than the fact that I think we're pretty much both in agreement that the, what's the Spider-Man cartoon one, that one?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, Into the Spider-Verse is not only a great movie, but perhaps the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
I still feel that way.
This movie, I feel, nods to it.
Honestly, with the reception that film got, mm-hmm. would Sony not have been foolish if they weren't like, yeah, we should kind of nod to that film? Like, if all of those characters somehow showed up, like, in a post-credits scene, and I'm not saying they did or did not.
They did not.
Well, for the people that don't know what the post-credit, and by the way, these two post-credit scenes,
we've got a lot too.
We may unpack that later after we say spoiler, 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 but let me just tell you, like, the mid-credit scene may be my favorite mid-credit scene of any Marvel Universe film since Iron
the
Man.
The falafel.
I'm just saying, like... Like, when we got to see Nick Fury come in and tell Tony Stark about the Avengers initiative, like, I was excited. This one right here hits you in all the right places.
Yes, and the reaction of my children, it warmed my heart. And again, I would liken it to how I know you and I felt at the end of the second Star Wars film. When Han Solo is encased in carbonite, and pretty much that's it. You're left with, what? It ended, and they're like, when is the next one? When is the next one? And I said, well, probably 2 years.
Your best sequels, your best ones, are the ones that leave you just going, I need it, and I need it now.
Like, yes.
With the original Men in Black, I walked out of the theater just going, I need to have another adventure with those guys. Now, with the second one, I didn't feel that way. I was like, okay, I've had enough adventure. That's good. I'm all full. That's good. I don't need another sandwich. I appreciate it. Like, this one, like, I enjoyed Homecoming.
Yeah.
But I didn't love it. I wasn't like, well, okay, that was a good spider. Like, it's in good hands. But, like, I wasn't blown away with it. When I walked out of this and I was like, Marvel is doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
Like, it just... And to be the film that came off Endgame, like, the bar was set pretty high.
Very much
on a way to really land. I mean, because Infinity War and Endgame are sequels of sorts to each other. Like, they really kind of need each other to be a complete, like, story. And, like, looking at the way that film was followed up, like, Homecoming is or Far From Home is the sequel to Homecoming. And Homecoming... was a good movie. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but like I enjoyed The Vulture. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I like. I'm not downing that movie, but I'm just like, at this point, we had seen multiple Spider-Man movies, and I'm just like, okay, well, that was good. Like, you definitely didn't lower the bar, like, and mm-hmm. I liked him in Civil War, but I'm telling you, like, this one was really where I feel like it hit its stride. Like, I need that third one now. After Homecoming, I was ready for another one, but it's whenever it was ready. Now, I need to know what happens. Like, kind of in the same, like, Star Trek The Motion Picture. It's a movie.
Yeah.
And
it was nice seeing everyone alive.
I appreciated that they had put them, you know, back on the screen after a nearly 10-year absence. But, like, I haven't revisited that film many times. Or
ever.
If I did, it's because somebody put my Star Trek 2 in my Star Trek 1 case, and I didn't look at the DVD before I put it in.
Exactly.
When you get to Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, you're just like, oh my goodness, that's it. That's the recipe right there. Like, you leave that film just like immediately needing to go on another adventure with them. And like, that's what I think Far From Home, like, the film was funny. Like, you had kind of this like bromance almost like aspect to it. I don't mean this, if anybody thinks of it in a derogatory way, which I don't even know that you could. Did it not almost feel like a John Hughes movie with superpowers in it?
Oh, I can totally see that.
Like, didn't it, like, I mean, like, in the same way that, like, you know, Pretty in Pink or, like, 16 Candles or, like, any of those films he did in the 80s that deal with kind of teen romance and really seems to understand that awkward dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Peter and MJ, like, did that not, like, I was just, I could hear John Hughes in some of that. And I like I said, I mean that.
I think that was just you, but they did capture the awkwardness.
Like, in the same way that, like, really, I only feel that, like, a John Hughes movie really was capable of doing for a certain period of time.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. We are high atop in the podcast center, Jane Ellen talking to Adam Cravens. Movie reviews today, Spider-Man, Far From Home. And Spider-Man has, now, this is the Sunday after the release.
Now, and granted, you need to keep in mind as well, when you're listening to this number, it's a big number, but it opened Tuesday. Am I right?
Yeah.
So this had a huge, like, it basically, it wanted to take advantage of the July 4th weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And from the look of these numbers, it did that.
So 6-day holiday opening in North America alone, $185 million.
To note, like, I want to add something to that. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 made $202 million domestically in its entire run. Spider-Man,
and that was a successful movie, was it not?
$200 million is a respectable sum for a movie. That, and like I said, that's just domestically. And it made, I think, 700 some odd million worldwide. Spider-Man Far From Home made $185 million domestically in its opening weekend. It's it's like, what is that, $17 million shy of Amazing Spider-Man 2's gross.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, if you want to kind of correlate, like, people's interest in that movie, almost, and like I said, if you adjust that for inflation, maybe Amazing Spider-Man 2 becomes like $220 million. But I'm saying almost as many people that saw that in its entire run in theaters, they came very close. And, like, I guarantee you they're going to hit 202 by next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have to have, like, a precipitous drop to come off that. And, like, the reviews are I haven't heard anybody that didn't like this. My wife, who is not a fan of superhero movies, liked this. I think it was probably in due to J.B. Smooth. Like, in this movie, because she was a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she, it was like, you know, when you go to a party and, like, it's a cool party, but, like, you don't know anybody. Like, she is a Curb Your Enthusiasm addict. It was like she saw her friend
That's
at the party
funny.
And she's like, oh, what? Because she just looked at me. She's like, he's in this. And I'm like, he right there. Right there.
There he is.
He's right there.
That's awesome. $580 million globally in 10 days, and I think it's safe to say it'll be a Spider-Man 4. So.
But 3.
And 4.
Well, yeah, well, okay, yeah, probably.
I'm just jumping ahead.
I don't know how long, like, 4. Sony's deal with Marvel lasts.
I think there might even be a 5.
But after that number, like, I mean, I know that, like, Sony has got, like, aspirations, like, to do, but, like, when they had that character, they took it down from, like, I think the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2002 movie did like $400 million in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept declining to the point, like I said, that Amazing Spider-Man 2 did only $202 million. And I know what it sounds like when I say that, but Spider-Man is one of the most profitable IPs in the world. Every Spider-Man movie that comes out, if it makes less than like $800 million, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason a character this popular that can generate like that much merchandise, video games, cartoon series, just everything. There's no reason people should not be like climbing over each other to get to this movie. And like, the only character that has maybe the amount of like just delicious villains that Spider-Man does is Batman. The two of their rogues galleries are incomparable. I mean, they have a bench so deep, like you could do 20 movies with each of them and never repeat the villain. Now, granted, they've worn out like Green Goblin. They were about to do Dr. Octopus again. The other thing that I love about what the MCU, Marvel Studios proper, mm-hmm. has done with these movies is like Vulture. We'd never seen Vulture on screen before. And like,
did we in this movie?
Michael Keaton was the Vulture in Homecoming.
Oh.
I'm saying like, we'd never seen a live action, and like Michael Keaton, for as great as he was as Batman, was fantastic.
Clearly, I don't remember that part.
As the Vulture.
I just remember the parts when he's talking to Tony Stark, because those are the funny parts to me.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. Robert Downey Jr. like was probably paid really handsomely for like the 3 days work he did on that movie.
So, yes.
Jake Gyllenhaal, who plays Mysterio in this movie.
Isn't Mysterio an X-Man?
No. He is a villain.
With a name like Mysterio?
Probably. There's a lot of X-Men. There's like 60 X-Men.
So Ian McKellen isn't, what's his name?
Magneto.
See, it ended in an O.
I'm going to say a lot of these guys were created in the 60s when Stan Lee was probably doing some experimental drugs. Like Electro, if you look at some of these costumes, there's only one way you come up with some of these characters. Like, but he plays Mysterio in this, and like this is the first time you have ever got to see a live action Mysterio. And Mysterio in the comic books is not a character that translates easily to the screen. Like when they said we're doing Mysterio in Far From Home, I'm just like, okay, well that can end one of two ways. They knocked Mysterio out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I liked, well,
there's a lot of what you liked.
Yes.
A thing that you liked.
What I liked regarding my children watching this movie is there were things that they would whisper to me that someone who has not only seen a lot of movies, but knows what needs to happen to get you to a certain point.
Right.
They had noticed things and then would go, I was right. I told you. And I just appreciated that. And I also thought of you watching this movie because, well, I do all the time, clearly. But isn't Tom Holland now our Michael J. Fox? Because he's playing a teenager. He's 23.
Believably, yeah. Mind you. Yeah.
And I have so much more Michael J. Fox. I've got to save it for Stranger Things 3 because there's actually a lot of parallels in Spider-Man and Stranger Things Season 3. But that will be on our other podcast, Binge or Cringe. Binge, obviously.
I do think Tom Holland is dead, like, and not in the grease way that like high school.
That's what I was noticing.
Like
kids are all in their 20s, but they don't look.
No, like, okay, I enjoyed Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, an Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. But, like, here was the problem I always had with it. Like, I enjoyed him in the movie.
I've already forgotten what
like,
he looks like.
Peter Parker.
Is he not president?
No. Okay. He was in the Facebook, the Social Network. He was the guy that, like, put up the money for it.
Yeah, whatever.
Peter Parker is supposed to be this awkward, nerdy kid. That's the reason why you can identify with him.
Okay, yeah,
that's the reason why, like, I could identify with him whenever I was a kid. There is no way Andrew Garfield ever had anything awkward or anything but, like, women swooning for him. Like, when they're just like, oh, he's an awkward, nerdy kid, I'm like, no, he's not. I can smell my own, okay? And, like, that guy don't stink. I'm just telling you right now. He probably smells like a really high-dollar cologne. And like I like him in those movies, the way that he's portrayed. But like, if you're going back to like the essence of Peter Parker, Peter Parker, like, just things are always going wrong for him. Like, he's not, you know, just debonair. Like, he's not Don Draper. Like, he's this nerdy little kid, and he happens to get superpowers. And like, you were living through that character as a kid.
And I liked his high school contemporaries. Okay, Zendaya, ridiculously attractive and stylish, but that aside, they have the look of a regular group of kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciated that.
Like
immensely.
a good varied group of kids.
So that was awesome. So Tom Holland, delightful. I enjoyed it immensely. I knew I would like it. I liked it even more than I thought I would.
I'm wondering if Jake Gyllenhaal's casting had anything. Back when they were starting, they were doing prep work for Spider-Man 2, in the one that came out in 2004. Tobey Maguire, and if I'm remembering right, he had hurt his back doing one of the stunts or something with a horse in the movie Seabiscuit. And I want to say, like, it was significant enough that they weren't certain he was going to be able to shoot at the time they needed to get Spider-Man 2 out. And, like, they had just come off this huge success with Spider-Man 1. So there was talk of replacing Tobey Maguire in the second one. And the guy that they had a couple names. And the one that pretty much was at the forefront of it was Jake Gyllenhaal. So Jake Gyllenhaal, about, would have been 15 years ago, almost played Spider-Man in the movie whenever he was. As it turned out, like, Tobey Maguire ended up, like, I guess, healing in the frame of time they needed him. But I was wondering if it was just, if Sony was like, listen, we liked you 15 years ago. You're a bit old for Peter Parker now, but how would you like to wear this costume? And he's like, is that a fishbowl? And they're like, no. Well, kind of.
That was in Mega Mind. Yeah, I did think of Mega Mind with that. And it made it funnier. Oh, geez, I don't even know what I was going to say. But I'm sure it was hilarious. And it's 2, 3, gone. Anyway, it's a great movie. And oh, I know what I was going to say. So the closing credit scenes.
Are we actually going to talk about them? Should we say spoiler before we do it?
No, I'm not going to say. Let's not say spoiler.
Oh,
I really want to talk about it. I'm not going to say spoiler, so but we never did talk about
Endgame. I know.
And now I have to watch it again.
That needs a podcast.
Yes.
Like,
okay,
to do that. But I'm just saying, for the two scenes, like, if we say that we're going to talk about it and we say spoiler, I think it's okay if we do it. Like, we're not surprising them with it. Like, we're not hitting them with it. We're not like, oh, Bruce Willis is dead. Blah.
He's not, by the way.
He's not even in this movie.
No, and he's still alive, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, I was saying in Sixth Sense, but
oh,
spoilers. If you
see,
yeah, if you haven't seen a 20-year-old movie,
Crying Game. Never mind.
25-year-old movie. Sorry, guys, sorry. I don't feel bad about those spoilers.
And the Titanic sinks. So what I was going to say is there is a part of this that reminds me of the BBC Sherlock Holmes character, the amazing Moriarty, and how he has managed to, in one of the seasons, though we know he's not there, but he's managed to be there. And that was also like in Jessica Jones, when Tennant's character.
The menace of the character is still present, despite the, or even in Daredevil season 2. Like, the Kingpin is largely absent, but his presence is still very much felt, despite the fact that they're not there.
I feel that that's probably how other people feel when I'm not in a room.
They feel your menace?
Yeah, my menace is still there, though I'm not
here,
there.
Here, let me call Jim. Let me get him to confirm this.
You know what? I know what we're going to do. We're going to do an all-spoilers podcast where we will discuss this, we will discuss Endgame, and we will just do that. How about that?
Okay, I can deal with that.
Even though I really want to talk about it. Okay, so the thing is, you need to watch the first one, and then you have to wait through all the credits, and then you need to watch the second one. And I will tell you this. Had I have seen Captain Marvel, I wouldn't have gone, huh? That's all I'm saying. Now, you don't have to have seen Captain Marvel to understand one of the ending scenes, but it sure would have helped.
Yeah. But again, like, the previous film in this franchise made $2.7 billion. Like, I don't think they have to be concerned that people aren't watching them anymore. Like, Captain Marvel, which came out in what, March?
And by the way, the girls loved it. They just saw it. Just saw it, and they're like, "Yeah!"
Well, it's, I mean, outside of the fact that, like, you have a female lead that, like, really kicks all of the butt,
mm-hmm.
like, all of it. Like, even, like, plays a significant part in Endgame as well, kicks the, all of the butt in Endgame as well. Like, if you took away all that female empowerment right there, it's still just a good movie. Made $1 billion. Avengers Endgame made almost just like a hair away from $3 billion. Spider-Man, what did we say, 580 million?
It's going to make a billion.
I'm just saying, I don't see a world that this does not make enough. That's three movies that made $1 billion plus for Marvel this year.
Now, I will add one thing, which is not a spoiler. When Happy gives young Spider-Man something from Tony Stark, what I expected was what I think we're expecting in the next, well, this is the next Marvel movie, but I am expecting that Tony has left film of him talking to various people. And I expected to see, help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're only help. I expected that instead of a note.
Well, here's the catch with that. Robert Downey Jr.'s likeness is expensive. Notes from Tony Stark
are not.
Are not. If you want to get a hologram of Tony Stark, you've got to put the money up for Robert Downey Jr. Like, and like, I think that he definitely understands his importance in those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get to headline, like, the what's probably going to end up being the second highest grossing film of all time, like, it's what, 25 million away from Avatar with its re-release? Like, mm-hmm. I think that there's a caveat with that. Like, it's beat Avatar's original theatrical run. It has not beat the Avatar re-releases yet. So, however you want to look at it, Disney won. $2.7 billion. That's how you fail. Man, you failed. Well.
I just know that Walt said, you're going to keep my frozen head alive. And this is the plan. And look, they're doing it.
Man, are they. Like, yeah. they probably cloned his frozen head at this point. There's probably a couple of frozen heads.
I continue to believe in his frozen head. Because who else could mastermind this, huh?
They did Aladdin, which has become Will Smith's most financially successful film.
Seriously?
Yes.
Because in my mind, you saw it, you said, oh, it's fine. And then it just disappeared from me.
Well, okay, do you know what his second most successful, previously was his most successful? I didn't believe this, especially when I was sitting there going, yeah, like, this guy's done nothing but blockbusters for like 20 years.
If you say The Wild Wild West.
No, it's not. It's Suicide Squad.
Oh, see, I would have assumed it was Independence Day.
If you adjust for inflation, probably. But, like, I was thinking a Men in Black, an Independence Day, like, something like that. Like, because this dude did nothing but just, like, just huge blockbuster movies for, like, a span of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they tell me, they're like, no, Aladdin is his most financially successful. It passed. It's his biggest movie. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
But if you think about it, Will Smith, while probably not the star he was in, say, 2005, still a very recognizable face worldwide. You put him with an IP like Disney, really anything. But I mean, in this case, Aladdin, which I mean, and honestly, this film could have been called The Adventures of Genie and Jasmine. Like, I don't think Aladdin was the draw even mm-hmm. in the movie. I guess you don't think about that, but like,
wow, I did not expect that.
And it's a decision we were all questioning. We're like, mm-hmm. Will Smith is the genie. What? That's preposterous. That'll never work. It worked, kids.
Like, okay.
It worked a lot.
So Spider-Man Far From Home, go see it.
Yes, definitely.
And the next big movie coming out would have to be The Lion King. The big one.
You've got, I think, Lion King is later. It's this month, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's later this month.
It's
and
like
then Then you've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino's ninth film. Like, this is a good month for movies.
And yet, I think that The Lion King is probably going to have a bigger opening than Tarantino due to ratings.
Well, I'm going to also say that, like, I mean, you got to hit those four quadrants. And like, I'm going to tell you right now, like my mom, not going to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like it's a smaller, I guess, like market penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do fine. Like I guarantee you that movie clears like $100 million. It probably like the budget was not astronomical. I'm going
to
guess either.
Jenna totally wants to see it. And I didn't see any blood spurts in the trailer, but I'm thinking, huh.
You do know what that movie's about though, right?
Oh, I do.
It's
Tarantino.
It's Tarantino.
Manson adjacent.
And I'm like, do you remember how Inglourious Basterds ended?
I actually have never seen that.
Holy cow.
And I don't know why I haven't seen it.
It may be his best movie.
Really?
And this is coming from a guy that like celebrates pretty much his entire catalog. Like,
and that's better than Hateful Eight? That's not the Adam Sandler, is it?
No.
Okay.
You know, you're thinking of like the Stupid Six,
yes,
or something.
Okay.
Hateful
Eight is
when we covered that movie, you kept calling it the Hateful Eight, and I
have problems.
Are you sure you're talking? Adam Sandler wasn't in Hateful Eight.
Wouldn't that be hilarious though?
But it would hurt my heart.
Yeah.
It would damage me.
So anyway, the next big one is going to be that. However, two smaller movies that I very much want to see, so that means you have to see at least one of them, would be Yesterday, and then is the other one, what is it called? Is it called Born to Run? It's Yesterday is the Beatle one, and the other one is the Bruce Springsteen one.
I think you may be right with Born to Run, but But it looks really entertaining.
It does.
Like, I don't know if it needs to be done like in a grand scale in a theater, but it is a film that I would. It looks like it would interest me.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, out of all the trailers,
I've come to America to come to the hometown of Bruce. I can't think of any reason better to come to these United States of America.
Boom.
Thump.
The one I am most excited about and have been, Terminator.
Dark Fate?
Well, I don't know. I know.
I think it's Dark Fate.
It's like Sarah Connor.
And it's not like faux Sarah Connor. It's,
no, it is.
It's for realsies Sarah Connor, like Linda Hamilton Sarah Connor.
In just as you think, oh, I wonder if Linda Hamilton is still all ripped like she was in Terminators 1 and 2. It's like, yeah, she's kicking all of the butt.
And if you'll remember when we reviewed the new Halloween, I kept saying, this is Terminator 2. This thing had to be influenced by Terminator 2. I'm wondering if they saw the performance of that movie because it opened huge.
And I did have one question.
Yeah.
Arnold is in it. I
don't think he's a Terminator. I don't know what he is.
But how can he have a beard and white hair? Well, grizzle. How could the Terminator age?
I don't think he's a Terminator. Now remember in Terminator 3, he plays an additional character that's the basis for the Terminator in those movies. You don't remember that because it's a stupid movie and
yes,
you immediately
forgot
it. I don't
remember it at all.
But like I am cursed with knowledge of films that I want to forget. And Terminator 3 is one of those movies. But there's like he's an Austrian general, and they end up
I don't remember that at all.
It's a very small, like, and it would be a cameo except for the fact that he's actually in the movie. But he plays a character, and like he's got like a goofy accent or something. And it's the character that they actually decide to base the later Terminators on. So...
okay.
It may just be, I hope it's not that guy, because, like...
I don't know.
I really hope not. Well, this is doing similar to what Halloween did. None of the movies that came after Terminator 2 exist. Terminator Rise of the Machines, Terminator Salvation, or Terminator Genesis. Mm-hmm. None of those happened. This movie is a direct sequel to Terminator 2 and completely invalidates anything that came after. The TV series, none of that.
That TV series should have stayed on. Anyway, go see Spider-Man Far From Home, and you'll enjoy it immensely.
It's not quite as good as Into Spider-Verse, but like that, I'm just telling you, that movie's
virtually flawless.
Like,
but
it's just, there's no fat on that
steak. It's got Captain Kirk in it and everything.
It's just, it's a perfect T-bone.
Okay, so go see it. Thank you for listening, and I hope you're having a fabulous summer with all these delicious movies. And we'll do another one next week. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.